How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we'll pick up our study here in John chapter 8, verse number 12 is where we need to pick up this time. I want to give a little bit about the context here, and that in the early part of this chapter, the Pharisees and scribes brought to the Lord Jesus a woman as he taught in the temple. They brought unto him a woman that they said was taken in adultery, and no doubt she was. But the Lord writes on the ground as they begin to urge him about the law of Moses and what it said that she should be stoned and such. The Lord's writing on the ground, he says unto them all when he raises up. The only thing that he says unto him says, you that are without sin, let him cast the first stone. And this is not saying that men are not without guilt in transgression against the Lord. Men are sinners. Even we who are saved, we are saved sinners. We still transgress against the Lord. We still sin against the Lord. First John chapter 1 tells us that we do have sin yet, and we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, where if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the sinner that has been saved is yet still has sin that he deals with in his life. Not willful sin, I trust, but even so, if we confess that and repent of that before the Lord and turn from it, he will forgive us, he will cleanse us, as the scripture says, and we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. These men brought this woman and claiming the law in it, but one thing that they had left out is bringing the man. The law was very clear that those caught in adultery, as they said they had caught the woman, both should be brought and stoned. The Lord writing on the ground, he says, are you without sin in this matter? Are you guilt-free in this matter? Are you judging righteous judgment in this matter? You that are doing this right, you that are judging this thing right, according to what the Word of God says, you cast the stone at her. How was it that you knew that you could catch her in the middle of adultery? Was it your uncle? Was it your cousin? Was it your father? Was it your grandfather that was doing this? And this woman has been entrapped in this? Yes, she was guilty. The Lord acknowledges as much. But are you without guilt in this matter? You are judging unrighteous judgment. They all clear out of there. They leave. They're convicted in their conscience by what the Lord has said and written. And then the Lord, I believe, saves this woman. And he says to her, I don't condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Verse number 11, go and sin no more. So the Lord acknowledges that she was sinning. She was guilty in her part. And the Lord says, and she acknowledges him as Lord. I believe that's a testimony of him having saved her, because no doubt she was afraid, and no doubt she saw what the Lord did, and the Lord visited her and saved her. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So the Lord acknowledges that she has sinned, but now being saved, go and turn from that wicked way. And so we pick it up here in verse number 12 of John 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And indeed he is. He shone some light on that situation, didn't he? The unjust behavior and pursuits of the leadership in Israel. Shameful how it was where they covered up their own sins and wickedness and then would require something else of the people. The Lord called them hypocrites. And that's what a hypocrite is to stand. They say that they stand in the Word of God and hold that as the standard, but then transgress it themselves. That is a hypocrite indeed. He says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Walking in the Lord, following after him, abiding by his word, One will see things right. One will see the truth. One will have good application of the scripture. Being honest with the word of God rather than trying to skirt around the word of God to suit oneself. He is the light. He shone light on this situation with this woman that was brought. And she was guilty of adultery, but the man was not brought. And the Lord shone the light on this thing and these that wanted to put this woman to death, but not their friend or their kin. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not only is the Lord and the indwelling of the Spirit of God and salvation is a river of life springing up within, but it is also the light of life. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said, and to him, thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. They say, you're telling about yourself, and your record just isn't true. It's false. Listen to what the Lord says. In verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. I'm telling the truth. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. He says, I know that what I'm doing is true, and I know who sent me and where I've come from and where I'm going. I know that. You can't know. Verse 15, he clears it up. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. What he's saying here is, you're just seeing what you're seeing here physically. It's not time for me to judge men yet. He will. We saw that in John chapter 5. But presently, I am come to be the Savior. We look over here, and this is made clear, I believe, in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 over here, after these very familiar passages of John chapter 3:16 and John 3:17, okay? It's John chapter 3, verse 17 that we want to read. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world the first time, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent the Son the first time as Savior. And so he says here, he says, I judge no man. You're judging after the flesh in John 8:15. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. I believe we can add yet. And this first advent of the Lord, coming as Savior, coming as a man, his mission was not to judge, but his mission was to be a Savior. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Listen to this. Verse 16, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. He said, when I do, or if I would, it would be true. Because I am true, my mission is true, the one that sent me is true, and where I'm going is true. It's all true. Listen to what it says here. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. And that's the way that it is. No person was to be put to death unless it was at the hand of two or three witnesses. And those witnesses had to be so convicted that it was one that they would bring charges against, if you will, would be guilty of such that they were the ones to cast the first stones. They were the ones to engage first in the judgment and condemnation that the Lord had given in the law. He says, it's written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. You've got to have two to tell and reckon that a matter is true. Verse number 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, so I'm one man, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me, if you will, also. And so there's two. He says, I and my Father bear witness to me and my ministry and my coming. That's two. That agrees with the law. That tells that it is so. How was it that the Father has testified and witnessed that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is true? Do you remember where that would be? Where would it be that the Father has testified that the Lord Jesus Christ's coming is true and that he's in agreement with it, that he's the author of it, the sanctioner of it, and that he's behind it? Where would that be? Where would that be? Was that not at the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized? When he was baptized by John the Baptist, and John gave testimony of that here in the first part of this book, the book of the Gospel of John. Let's back up here to John chapter 1, verse 29, and read this again. The next day John, that is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, and I knew him not. I didn't know what the Savior would look like, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same one that sent John, sent the Son, he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So the testimony of the Father was manifested at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, there by John the Baptist, where the Spirit of God descended upon the Lord and abode upon him as a dove, and the voice from heaven spoke, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so the Lord says, I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, and the Father that has sent me also beareth witness of me. Back in John 8, verse 19, then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. So he lays it on the line here with them, says, You don't know me because you don't know my Father. And you don't know my Father because you don't know me. I think that we can take that way. If had they known the Father, he says there again, he says, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. So I think that works the both ways. If they knew the Son, they certainly would know the Father. If they knew the Father, they would certainly know the Son. It would be apparent. It would be obvious unto them. There were those that did know the Lord Jesus. Remember Simeon there in the temple as they brought the Lord Jesus for the things that should be accomplished with Mary after her purification, after having birthed the Lord Jesus and his dedication. He'd already been circumcised after his birth, but they took him to Jerusalem, to the temple, and there was Simeon there, and there was Anna there, and they were looking for the coming of the Savior. It had been revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Savior, Messiah, Christ. And so when they brought him in, the Spirit of God showed him that he knew that this was a Savior. He knew the Father and he knew the Son even before the Son spoke. He knew he was there. There were those that knew. There were those that did not know. How about you? Do you know the Lord? Does he know you? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, casting all of your life, your existence, everything that you are upon him? Resting in him, trusting in him, believing in him that when he came and fulfilled and completed his gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that he did so for a sinner like you. Believe in him, trust in him is our plea and our desire for you. Well, see that our time has passed for now. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.